You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Inflation is a global reality, and in South Africa, it's a local reality as well. Surviving SA Inflation is a piece that I received from the desk of Sumesh Chetty, who's a portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. And it says here, surviving SA Inflation, that's the banner headline, South Africans are now suffering the pain of inflation without having benefited from a significantly stronger economy. What can investors do to safeguard and grow their money? Sumesh Chetty is with me now. Sumesh, it's the enemy, isn't it? Inflation is the enemy, because what it essentially means is that the goods that you bought a year ago are now 7, 8, 9, 10% higher than they were that year ago, depending on where you live. But in South Africa, yeah, it's a reality and it's horrible.
Hi, Lindsay. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's a reality. And I think it's front and center now because you're seeing such large numbers. You're mid sevens for South Africa in the for the UK, in the high eights for the US right now. But investors should never lose sight of the fact that inflation is always the enemy. You know, we get too caught up in this pursuit of alpha. What has the market done? How much have you outperformed the market by? But investors often forget that you can't eat alpha. What do I mean by that? Market's down 30%. Funds are down 20%. It doesn't help that you've outperformed by 10%. You should always have an eye on inflation. Unfortunately, in the current environment, it's just so much higher than we've experienced in the last 10, 15 years. Remember, South Africa used to always struggle with inflation back in the day. Inflation targeting, I think, was introduced in 2002 here. And for most, I guess, investment professionals and investors, you know, it's the first time they're really feeling the impact of this phenomenon that just erodes all your savings.
Yeah, inflation targeting, let's go back to that 2002. Goodness me, was it that long ago? That's two decades ago.
Yeah.
And just to reiterate, or rather put it on the table, it's 3 to 6% is the target range of the South African Reserve Bank for South African inflation. And I must say they've done a very good job. They've had some external influences which have helped them, but 3 to 6% has served them quite well, although we have gone through the limit. And of course, they will take actions in order to bring it back down to their target of, let's call it 4.5%. But what is really important is that asset managers like yourself can keep up with it. And that's a really, really tough task.
Yeah, it is. And also keep in mind, when you think about the 3 to 6%, we've obviously exceeded the 6% level previously, because there are factors that impact inflation that are completely outside the control of central banks in the world. And the two big factors today are, of course, the price of petrol or the price of oil. It's petrol that affects the consumer's pocket directly. And, of course, the price of food. And because these prices are set internationally, it doesn't matter what central banks do in terms of interest rates. You know, the price is the price. And what you have to do is you actually have to destroy demand. And why it's so much harder in South Africa is demand is already so weak because this economy, as you said, hasn't had growth in so many years. Now, it is the job of asset managers to deliver on these inflation targets. There are going to be times, though, when it gets more difficult. And we are in one of those periods where it's particularly difficult because not only do you have high inflation, but you've got market disruptions or market dislocations. You know, the period that I always keep top of mind is 2008, not because it was the global financial crisis, but you had inflation and equity markets moving in opposite directions. So I think inflation in South Africa in 2008 was around 10 or 11%, and our equity market was down 26%. So in an environment like that, just over that 1 year period, you can do nothing to outperform inflation. Because, you know, even if you're sitting in cash, cash right now is negative real. So when you think about combating inflation, you really have to think of it on a longer time horizon. So, you know, you've got to think about 3, 5, 7 year periods, because the relationship with equities and inflation, ultimately it does reassert itself, because clearly management teams are going to pass on or attempt to pass on those pricing increases to their end investors. But I think what's going to be most worrying for investors right now is the fact that you have high inflations and you have that dislocation or disruption occurring in asset markets right now.
Yes, there is a dislocation. I would agree with you entirely. Do we have stagflation at the moment? Is there a chance of there being nascent stagflation, or is stagflation already a reality? In other words, higher prices and low growth, and therefore that impacts on the stock market. I don't want to dwell on that too much, but it's an important point.
No, I think it's a really important point. You know, let's not look at a point in time. Let's just look at where we are since the end of 2019, because, you know, 2019 was probably our last normal year before COVID hit. You can very much argue we've had stagflation, because since the end of 2019, you know, in real terms, the economy hasn't really grown. We're just getting back to where we were at the end of 2019. But we've had inflation throughout, and now we've got excessively high inflation. So for this period, at least, I guess on a retrospective three-year view, you could argue there has been stagflation. And the biggest fear, I guess, is that at the end of 2019, you know, our economy was growing by about 0.3%, so effectively 0% real. What happens if we return to that, but inflation still remains at maybe not high sevens, but if inflation gets back to 4.5 to 6%, that's not ideal.
No, it's not ideal at all. I mean, inflation, I think what the market wants is that sort of Goldilocks inflation, Sumesh, of like 2 to 2.5%, because that means that the economy is growing, but people aren't suffering that much. Maybe their wages are increasing by around about the same amount. And, you know, companies grow and they can afford to pass on 2 to 2.5% in price terms. But we've got inflation that is incredibly different to the 2 to 2.5% that I've just alluded to. So we've got inflation for all the wrong reasons. A lot of it imported, a lot of it because of the international situation. What do you do then as an asset manager to combat this? Very difficult, as I said earlier on in my introduction.
Well, to be clear, we have to differentiate. So inflation in our country of 4.5-5%, that's not bad. We shouldn't be at the 2% that you see in developed markets, because naturally our economy should be growing faster and it should come with slightly greater inflationary pressures than in the US, for example. Similarly, you would expect lower returns to emerge from the US, and that hasn't been the case, given that, you know, inflation happens to be lower there. And you would expect higher returns to emerge from South Africa, because inflation happens to be higher here. You know, that inflation is just, it's the base on which you demand real returns, and then an equity risk premium, for example, over and above that. So as asset managers in South Africa, your starting point should be, are assets appropriately priced for the environment? And when we look at the environment that we're in right now, you know, the starting point, unsurprisingly, should be something like inflation-linked bonds. And inflation-linked bonds, you know, given the negativity that has built up towards South Africa over the last couple of years. And you know, it's not unmerited, but given the negativity that's built up, you're getting 3.5 to 4% from inflation-linked bonds. Absolutely fantastic investment. Comes with risk, comes with some volatility, but it's a great investment. Liquidity happens to be a little bit tight. You move up there. Our nominal bonds, and I sound like a broken record, but our nominal bonds are giving you right now a yield of 11%. That's on our 10-year SA government bond. Right now, at a yield of 11%, and with inflation at, let's call it 7.8%, that's a very strong real return. And then for those investors who want to take on yet more risk, you can achieve growth by buying businesses with low economic sensitivity offshore. Now, in the South African context, there are businesses you can buy as well, but you've got to be a little bit careful, because the South African businesses are still being held hostage to the lack of growth, and it's so much harder to pass on inflation to the end consumer. You know, you take a great business like AVI, for example, strong brands. They are a consumer staple business. They should be able to pass on cost to the end consumer. But over the last couple of years, this business has made money by constantly taking expenses out of the system, because they've been unable to pass price increases on to a consumer that has been struggling. And so when we think about constructing those portfolios, you've really got to think about, well, do you have an appropriate risk premium built in against inflation? And if you're dealing with an equity, can the business you are purchasing pass on all those input cost pressures? Now, it doesn't have to happen immediately. I think anyone who expects a direct hedge against inflation on a day-by-day basis outside of inflation-linked bonds needs to change their assessment of what they're looking for. But I think, you know, if you have a three-year horizon or a five-year horizon, there are a lot of fantastic opportunities today that will see you through the storm. But short term, Lindsay, you know, the next month, 3 months, 6 months, there's a lot of volatility that you're going to have to stomach. And that should also be a reminder to investors that you're probably going to have to tighten your belt for a little bit.
Yes, I agree with you entirely. You mentioned AVI. I don't want to get stock specific because it's inappropriate for this podcast. But I will say that the price sensitive and sophisticated South African consumer is exactly that. And if something like a ShopRite, for example, versus a Spar or a Woolworths or whatever other retailer you want to mention, they can't put up their prices because they, as I said, the South African consumer will then switch quite easily in order to save money. But I don't want to talk about specific stocks. I want to talk about your specific strategy. How do you cope with this? Do you say to yourself, okay, inflation is here, but it's not going to be here forever because in a year's time it's going to come back to 3.5% to 4.5% in South Africa and maybe to 4% to 5% in the United States. So do you say, I'll sit tight, or do you adjust your strategy, Sumesh?
So we're dynamic. You do have to make adjustments. And the issue is not about whether inflation comes back or not. Inflation has to come back, just mathematically, base effects, however high you think it's going to get. We don't have to debate if the current level of inflation is the peak or not. Ultimately, it's going to come down. Is it 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? Doesn't matter. But it comes down. What does matter, though, is what is that ultimate level it gets to? And what keeps us up at night is, you know, if you take the Fed, for example, everyone's talking about long-term inflation coming back to 2%. But there are changes in the world that suggest that inflation needs to be higher going forward. If you take something as simple as, well, it can't be 2%. Let's say it goes to 3%. It doesn't sound like a significant change. But that higher inflation by 1% adjusts where bond yields need to be in the US. That adjusts the potential cost of capital. It adjusts the return that you require from equities. And it has massive knock-on implications. Now, why do we think that inflation could potentially be higher? Very, very simple reasons. We've seen what's happened in the world. We've seen the tensions between the US and China. We've seen this massive impetus around deglobalization. The last 20 years have been all about globalization, China exporting deflation to the rest of the world, and we think that's fundamentally changed. You know, if you are not a believer that deglobalization is going to occur, well, think about what's happening with energy. We understand that carbon emissions need to come down, and there isn't a cheap replacement for fossil fuels. The cost of energy needs to go up over time. Then you think about things like aging populations and declining productivity. Everything points to inflation being higher, not low. And I don't mean higher than current, but higher than the last 20 years. So simply then, when you start thinking about constructing portfolios, you've got to be very careful of just holding on to the past and saying, wait, we can do exactly what we did in the past. It doesn't matter. This will pass. We just need to ride it out. You actually have to actively assess the environment and say things potentially are going to be worse. And that's why ensuring that you have appropriate risk premiums built into the assets that you are purchasing matters. So when we think about that portfolio today, you can't say there's going to be a return to normal. Hold tight. You really have to make sure that you have appropriate inflation beating assets in the portfolio. So more than ever, we're focusing on that pricing power and extracting inflation risk premiums from bonds, either inflation linkers or nominal bonds.
Okay, so what you're saying, your strategy has been tweaked because of the inflationary environment and the potential persistent inflationary environment. On the other hand, your core principles are still the same, and equities can bridge the gap, and they will continue to bridge the gap, whether inflation be 6 or 7% or 1.5% to 2.5%. Is that what you're saying?
Correct, but it's not the strategy that's being tweaked, it's the positioning within the funds that gets tweaked slightly. You know, so the strategy and the philosophy doesn't change. And just be careful, Lindsay, when you think about those equities, we've got a balance. Yes, we believe they'll deliver the inflation plus requirement over the medium term, but you've also got to be very cognizant about the volatility that you're taking on right now. So you've got to be far more discerning around any cyclicality that exists within the portfolio. So you've got to think hard about those names that you think aren't going to do as well if we see a continuation of the downturn we're experiencing now.
Sumesh, thank you so much for your insight. Sumesh Chetty is a portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.